Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce,
and out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce-am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and I welcome you this fine, fine evening to another show. Yes, we are live. No, I am not in my office. I'm actually at home. The wife wanted to have dinner, and so right now, because we moved, it's about a 25-minute drive for me every night from the office to the new place, and we never get to have dinner together. Because I end up getting home, 7:30-ish, 8 o'clock, and the baby's already taken a bath, and they've already eaten, so we decided to try this. Hopefully it's coming through okay. Hopefully you can hear me. Spent the afternoon raking leaves, oddly enough. Found it quite therapeutic. Gave me a lot of time to think. Just raking leaves and breathing the crisp Wisconsin air. And one thing that kept creeping into my mind is that there apparently is no end to the layers of depravity and the layers of perversion everywhere you look. There's absolutely no end. It seems as though Hollywood's eating itself, which is a good and fine thing, but just story after story. These are the same, self-righteous, chest-beating fools who kept telling Christians that we're overzealous and our morality means nothing. Well, here we are. These people are being exposed for the beasts that they are. And one thing that we have to take into account and do so seriously is that this sort of behavior and this sort of attitude And this sort of perversion is so pervasive in a place like Hollywood that one wonders, is there anything wholesome left anymore? Because these are the people that are attempting to affect our children. These are the people that are attempting to sort of massage and guide the way people think. And by and large, it's been working because, first of all, and I go back to this once again, the church has fallen asleep yet again. There seems to be no accountability on our part for what we allow into our homes, for what we allow into our lives, for what we allow to feed our children. If the depravity is so bottomless and so vile that even the godless can't stand the stench, and these are the people apparently responsible for entertaining your children from early youth until adulthood, what sort of mindset do you think they'll have? How will their thinking be shaped, given that this is what they were fed all this time? I don't know if he was able to make it, but I invited Jeff to come on with me tonight. We were going to do another segment of Two Angry Dads, because once again, there's a lot to be angry about. So, Jeff, if you're there, would you chime in? All right. I guess Jeff is not there. If he happens to come on, well, he knows how it works. But what I wanted to talk to him about and get his input on, because, you know, he's got older children. He's got teenagers. All I have is a toddler and another one on the way, hopefully within the next 3 weeks or so. But again, what I wanted to discuss with him was this constant and ongoing attempt at the entertainment industry to mold the mindset of the young and to mold the way that our children think and process and what they deem as good and noble. I read an article last week that the Disney Channel, this is Children's Disney, which is, you know, for children that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, into the early teenage years, they introduced their first homosexual relationship and their first homosexual character in what is essentially a children's morning show. What place does that have in what ought to be entertainment for children that are preteen? What possible justification other than indoctrination can they have for trying to steer the thinking of our children into accepting depravity as normal? See, we must understand the scope of the battle if we hope to win the war. This is something that I fear many Christians are ignorant of. This is something I fear many Christians simply don't want to acknowledge, because to acknowledge the scope of the battle that is confronting us depresses a lot of people, to be honest with you. It frightens people. It makes them anxious. Some people would rather not understand the level of intricacy that the enemy has established in order to pull the young away from their parents and pull their parents away from God, because they've been taught for so many years that, well, you know, it's you raise a hand in a crusade, you say a little prayer, and that's all you really have to do. They've been taught the easy route. They've been taught cheap salvation for so long that when confronted with the reality of battle and when confronted with the truth, undeniable truth, that our enemy does not sleep, the undeniable truth that our enemy is not on vacation, the undeniable truth that, contrary to the belief of some, the enemy does have a plan, And he is, by all accounts, and by all evidence, implementing his plan with very little resistance from the church. See, this is what angers me. We know that the devil does what the devil's always done. We know what his job is. We know what his duty is. We know what his passion, for lack of a better term, is. We know what the purpose of the enemy is vis-a-vis believers. What we ought to also know is what we as believers have a duty to do before a living and sovereign God. Our duty isn't to cry out, "Jesus, take the wheel," because I've met a lot of brothers that are in that mindset right now, and, "Well, I just give up, brother. You know, I stop fighting because what's the point?" Well, the point is, we're supposed to fight because giving up is not an option. We're supposed to fight because retreat or surrender are not viable alternatives. They never will be. And what a lot of Christians are starting to see, and it's scaring them on a fundamental level, is that anybody that raises their head above the crowd, anybody that tries to actually take a stand, is annihilated, is pummeled, is attacked so brutally and viciously as a warning sign to everyone else, don't you dare. Don't you dare think that you can compel change. Don't you dare think that you have a voice. Don't you dare go against the grain. Because if you do, you'll have women you've never met alleging you've done things you never did. We talked about the Alabama race a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was probably a month ago. And I told you to keep an eye on it. And I know some of you were scratching your head and going, what does Alabama have to do with anything? Well, because of the man who's running for Senate. Now, Judge Roy Moore has a certain reputation. He is not a man that came out of nowhere. He's a man that's been in the public spotlight for many a year. The first national acknowledgement of this man was when he fought for the Ten Commandments. And now he won the primary for the Republican Party, which is something that they didn't see coming. See, the establishment in this country, the elite, if you will, the people who hold the reins of power, they believe with all of their heart that you as a voter are irrelevant, that no matter what the people say, no matter how the people vote, no matter the level to which the people go to try to impose their will, it's all for naught. They're still going to do what they want to do because they have their agenda and they're going to keep pressing it. And so it came out of nowhere that this man, this judge, won the primary against an establishment Republican. And now we see what happens to anyone that dares to go against the machine. It's sad because there's a lot of inconsistency here. There are a lot of things that simply don't ring true. And whenever you see the face of one Gloria Allred, that's when every single alarm should be going off. I said to you about a month ago that it's a playbook that's been gone to so often. It's something that the other side employs so regularly that it's no longer a surprise, and very few people still believe when they trot out this nonsense. It started with what? The Chief Justice, the Supreme Court Justice, Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. I was still, you know, a teenager. And for the longest time, the only thing that was in the news was a curly hair on a Pepsi can, if you remember that. They tried to shame this man into silence. They tried to besmirch his reputation to the point that even now, after all these years, when you say the name Clarence Thomas, you think back to the whole Pepsi can fiasco. After that, they tried it again, and successfully. See, this is the problem. This is the point. They try this so often because most of the time it's successful, especially in this situation where the first people to try to talk Justice Moore into resigning and going back into the shadows, never to be seen again, were the Republican elites. Good old Turkey Neck was the first behind a microphone, wasn't he? Mitch McConnell. Oh, that did. Nope. Allegations. Gotta go. Never mind that there's no proof. Never mind that this entire story is beginning to unravel already 3 days in. Never mind that it's coming out that this woman who is supposedly accusing the judge of doing untoward things, oddly enough, the judge ruled against her in her divorce proceedings. So this woman has a bone to pick. And how do I put this? Because I know I'm going to be misunderstood. I know some of you are going to get angry. I know some of you are going to roll your eyes. But it has to be said. We live in such a hypersensitive society that we can no longer rightly define what assault is anymore. Look, when somebody says, I thought he was going to hurt me, or I thought he was going to do something to me, and actually having somebody do something to you, those are two totally different things. But apparently we've come to the point where if you feel something or think something, even if what you're thinking or feeling is absolutely ludicrous, then the person that you're thinking it about is automatically a criminal. This is the nonsense that society has become. This is the foolishness with which we have to deal nowadays. Look, just because you feel a certain way doesn't make it true. Whether something happened or not depends on whether something happened or not. Not that you thought it was going to, not that you felt it was going to, not that you supposed it was going to. Look, I guess it was about 16 years ago. It was about 3-4 years after I got married. My wife comes home very angry one day. I'd just come off the road. I was traveling with Gino. I think we were in Tennessee or something. And she got home and she was angry. And I had no clue why she was angry. And eventually it came out that my wife was angry at me because she dreamt that I kissed another woman. So in her mind, having dreamt something was tantamount to actually it having happened. And I had to sit her down and go, look, I know whatever you dreamt, whether it was a pizza dream or a burrito dream or whatever it was, it doesn't mean that it was true. It didn't happen. Now, if it had happened, you have every right to be upset. But it didn't happen, so why are you furious at me? Again, feelings and facts are two very different things. And I have a sneaking suspicion that within the next few days, this story is going to unravel all the more. These allegations are going to run out of steam because they didn't expect this man to stick it out for so long. You remember who was it? Herman Cain. That was another what? A pile of women came out. And, of course, Gloria Allred. Oh, these poor innocent women. Look at them. They were defiled. The man dropped out of the presidential race. Have you heard anything about those women ever again? No, you haven't. See, again, this is their playbook. And they tried to get him to quit. They tried to get him to drop out. And he has too much integrity to do so. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that the people of Alabama see through this nonsense. Because when you have the establishment Republicans and the entire Democratic machine hunting for your scalp, that's the kind of man you want sent to Washington. That's the kind of man you want representing you, because, man, it's getting ugly. It's already dark. It's the level of perversion and depravity is beyond words at this point. Whatever is the worst you can imagine pales in comparison to the reality of what's going on. Every single day, it seems, a new actor, director, producer, what have you, accused of worse and worse things. See, we've gone beyond just, you know, one adult groping another adult. Now we're in the land of the pedophile. We're in the land of perversion that is not only untoward and not only an abomination, but criminal and illegal. And this is only the beginning. Everything that's in the dark will be brought to light. Everything that is hidden will be revealed and made known. And the hypocrisy of these people has to be evident to one and all. Because that's what gets my goat. That's what angers me. It's the abject hypocrisy of these people. They accuse others of doing exactly what they're doing because in their perverted, deluded minds, they think that if they're the ones doing it, then everybody else is too. They no longer believe that there are decent human beings on this planet. They no longer believe that they're just what we once called normal folk, you know, the 9-to-5ers, the ones that come home and sit down at the dinner table and say a prayer and have some meatloaf and some mashed potatoes, glass of cranberry juice, read their Bible, do a little Bible study, talk about their day, and go to bed so that they can wake up the next morning and go back to work and provide for their family. These people don't believe that such individuals exist any longer, but to their great surprise, they're discovering that they're the ones that are in the minority. They're the ones that are the freaks. Not the normal folk, not those in flyover country, as they love to call it. What we need to do is we need to stop financing the brainwashing of our own children by going to their movies, by buying their music, by watching their shows. We need to understand that that's the only thing that will hurt these people, their pocketbook. That's it. That's the only weapon that you have. In order to compel change, you have to hit them in the pocketbook over and over and over again. And we're beginning to see it. I read an article that this is like the worst season for movies ever. Nobody's going anymore. Nobody cares what these people put out. Because they've deluded themselves into this self-importance. You're a moron pretending to be another moron. That's it. You're not a neurosurgeon. You're not doing open heart surgery. You're not even a teacher. You're not even a garbage man. You provide no viable function for society. You pretend to be somebody else. That's it. Same goes for football players. You play a game for a living and you make millions of dollars doing it. You're not saving lives. Don't delude yourself. You're providing a modicum of entertainment for bored people that drink excessively. If football was taken away, 99.99% of people would still survive. If television and movies and TV shows and music even was taken away, most people would survive. Perhaps they'd learn the art of communication once more. Perhaps they'd learn, you know, I don't know, relationships once more. Perhaps they'd crack open their Bible if there was no TV or TV shows or cable or whatever. But these people are so delusional that they've succeeded into convincing themselves that the world will no longer spin without them. That all of mankind will suffer, and tragically so, if their 30-minute sitcom was taken off the air. And people are beginning to show via their pocketbooks that their self-importance was baseless. That they're not as important as they think they are. That people don't think of them as highly as they think of themselves. And I think this is why there's this pervasive and ongoing and never-ending hatred for Trump coming out of Hollywood. Because he disproved the myth of their self-importance. Remember before the elections, every starlet, every star, every musician, they were all with her. They were all on the Hillary bandwagon, man. They did concerts for her. They did PSAs for her. And they thought they could convince the masses to vote for the pantsuit. And when they saw that they didn't succeed, when they saw that they failed, the abject impotence of their self-importance came to light. And when they were confronted with that reality, I think that's when they snapped. I think that's why this just absolute hatred. But I guarantee you that some of these people don't hate Pol Pot or Stalin or Hitler as passionately as they do Donald Trump. And the man has his flaws and the man has his wrinkles. But to compare the man to Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot, I'm sorry, there's no comparison there. But they're just rabid. They don't know what to do with themselves. Everywhere you turn, there's another one of these people calling for impeachment, although there's no grounds. And I love the way that they try to shift the narrative every time something comes to light about their own. The way they try to shift the narrative every time someone on their side gets exposed for being a rat, for being an animal. What was it this morning? Al Franken, Senator Al Franken. Now, if you don't know who Al Franken is, you're lucky. Consider yourself blessed if you don't know the name Al Franken. But he is the governor from Minnesota. That's a blithe. I think that's one dark streak on Minnesota's record. But here he is, senator from Minnesota. And guess what? Mr. Franken is now accused of groping a certain lady, as well as sticking his tongue down her throat, which is not pleasant because Mr. Franken is not what you would call classically handsome. Now, this is the same man who talked about the other side and the way that they treat women just endlessly. See, this constant need to validate themselves, this constant virtue signaling, it exists because they know the reality of who they are. They know all the skeletons that are piled up in their closet, and they're hoping against hope that nobody pulls that door open. But somebody actually did for old Al Franken. And so now he is being disavowed by one and all. And again, if you think Al Franken's the only one, look, this is the reality, all right? The U.S. Senate paid out $15 million of your tax money last year to settle sex claims, to settle lawsuits against senators for being pervs, for, you know, making unwarranted and unwelcome advances to secretaries and whatnot. Just think on that for a second. The U.S. Senate has a slush fund specifically to pay off their victims. That's the best way I can put it. To pay off those women, those men, those whoever that they abuse and who threaten to sue them. Look, I think that these people are horrified at the prospect of having a righteous man in their midst. I think this is why there's such a concerted effort to destroy Roy Moore. And oddly enough, old turkey neck, Mitch McConnell, was the first one out of the gate calling for Roy Moore's stepping down and resignation. He should, you know, allegation with no proof, yes, the man should step down. However, Mr. Turkey Neck, McConnell, was not so quick to call for Al Franken's resignation. Even though when it comes to Al Franken's case, there is photographic proof of him groping a sleeping woman on the bosom, if you will. So yes, there is actual photographic proof of Al Franken groping a sleeping woman. However, Mitch McConnell did not call for his resignation. There is an allegation against Roy Moore with no proof. And the Maverick himself, as well as Turkey Neck, are working themselves up into a lather trying to get this man to quit. The National Republicans have pulled their support for Roy Moore, the National GOP. However, the Alabama GOP, they're not going anywhere. They're still behind Judge Moore. I was reading this this afternoon, and it brought a smile to my face, and it brought a modicum of hope, because I think the people of Alabama are more understanding of what's happening in their own state. They're seeing the attempted destruction of a decent man, and they're not going along with the national party. It's at Birmingham, Alabama on Thursday. The Alabama Republican Party issued a statement pledging its support for embattled former state Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, its nominee for U.S. Senate in the special election to be held on December 12th. So, again, this is not a man that came out of nowhere. This is a man who was a state Supreme Court Chief Justice. This is a man who was a district attorney. Where was this supposed victim for 40 years? Where were this woman's allegations for the last 40 years? This is a farce. Pure and simple, a farce. Only those who choose not to see it for what it is don't see it. So anyway, according to Alabama Republican Party Chairwoman Terry Lathan, the party steering committee made up of 21 members had met a night earlier to discuss the events and circumstances regarding the December 12th Senate race. Now, the result of that meeting was the determination Moore would continue to have the party's support as the nominee, and that was reflected in Lathan's statement. The Alabama GOP Steering Committee supports Judge Roy Moore as our nominee and trusts the voters as they take the ultimate decision in this crucial race. The fact that the Alabama GOP is standing with the man means one of two things to me. Either they're all in bed together and they're all corrupt, which is highly doubtful. Because let's face it, at least one out of the 21 members of the Alabama Republican Steering Committee, at least one out of 21 would have broken ranks if they believed for an instant that the claims against this man were true. Why would you put your hand in with somebody accused of such vileness if you believed for a second that it was true in your own state? These are people who would have absolutely no political future if what Judge Moore was accused of is true. Understand that. They would have no political future in the state of Alabama came to light that these allegations were in fact true. 21 people out of 21 people believe in the integrity of the man known as Judge Moore to such an extent that they're willing to put their own reputations and their own political futures on the line in order to defend him and stand up for him and continue to support him in the race. That ought to tell you a lot. And again, the fact that Gloria Allred made an appearance, forked tongue and cloven hoof, that tells me everything I need to know. Because let's get down to brass tacks a little bit, all right? Of every major alleged rape case in the last 15 years, you know, the ones that got the most publicity, whether it was the Duke lacrosse team, whether it was the young lady known as Mattress Girl, they were all proven false. Every single major rape case in the last 15 years, you know, the one that Al Sharpton was demanding justice for, the one that Gloria Allred was all a flutter about, all proven false. See, allegations without proof are just allegations. And then you take the body of evidence that you have before you, and when you see that the story of the individual alleging a crime has more holes in it than Swiss cheese that's been eaten out by mice, you take a step back and go, all right, what is the motive? Why would somebody do this now? Why didn't they do it when he was standing up for the Ten Commandments? If this had happened, if this woman had been violated, why not come out when he was district attorney, when he was Supreme Court justice? Why wait now in this crucial time, at this crucial race, at this crucial juncture? There was no way this woman could have known that Judge Moore would run for Senate. There was no way this woman could have known that his profile would rise more than Alabama Supreme Chief Justice. Why not come out back then? Why not allege these things when seemingly the man was at the height of his fame? I mean, he was a national story back during the whole thing about the Ten Commandments. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk that his fame would rise more than that? Because let's face it, after that, we had, 8 years of Barack Obama. Nobody thought the Republicans were going to get the presidency or the House or the Senate again, man. It was locked. It was a done deal. Bill had measured the drapes. He'd already ordered his stain-resistant couch. He was ready to move back into the White House, cigars in tow. A handful of states, such as Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Florida, upended all of their plans. This is why they're so beside themselves. This is why they're willing to besmirch the reputation and integrity of a decent man, because they feel it slipping away. They feel the groundswell of discontent. They feel the anger of the average Joe boiling over. And they don't know what to do with it. I think that sooner rather than later, the political class in this country is going to have their let them eat cake moment. Because it always happens. Throughout history, people in power have always overestimated their level of power and underestimated the will of the people and the lengths to which the people will go. And so I'm thinking, to be honest with you, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that their let them eat cake moment is probably going to have to do with the tax reforms. I think that I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to get past the Senate. And I think that the Maverick and a handful of other so-called Republican senators are going to have their let them eat cake moment. And the people will give in to their anger. They will give in to their discontent. I've been playing out scenarios in my head. Like I said, I spent the afternoon raking leaves. And what I do whenever I'm doing menial tasks is think. And I've been playing out scenarios in my head of what could spark a revolution in this country. I've been playing out scenarios in my head of what the match would be that sets off the powder keg. And there are so many different ways that this can go sideways. There are so many different ways by which a revolution can start in this country that it's a miracle in and of itself that nothing has happened thus far. See, on one side, you have the political elite who want to remain as such, who will drag through the mud anyone that threatens their sovereignty, who will drag through the mud anyone that threatens their authority and threatens their, you know, trough, their piggy bank, their easy life, the teat from which they suckle the taxpayer dollar. On the other side, you have those who would want to see this nation's end, people who are so self-loathing that they do not believe America deserves to exist, people who would rather see socialism in this nation than capitalism. And I think that the more time we spend being quiet, the more motivated these people will be to get louder. Because that's the only thing a coward needs to press his advantage is for no one to oppose or resist him. See, cowards don't like resistance. They don't like being challenged. This is why Mitch McConnell was so quick to denounce Judge Moore and say he should resign, because Judge Moore actually had the wherewithal to say Mitch McConnell should resign. He's feckless. He's worthless. He's a sack of sagging meat whose only interest is himself and the power that he wields. Same goes for the Maverick. But they've been at this for so long that they don't know anything else. They're so corrupt to the core that the will of the people is irrelevant to them. The good of the nation, who cares? As long as I can stick it to them. Eventually, their let them eat cake moment will come. And I'm hoping that it's later rather than sooner, because like I said, I'm expecting a baby, or at least my wife is. And I don't want to see the turmoil that is sure to follow an uprising of the people. Now, again, let's get back to the Alabama GOP here. This is, again, people who know the man, people who've worked with him, 21 people who, I don't know, highly doubtful that they would compromise themselves for somebody that they thought guilty. But it says this: the Alabama GOP Steering Committee supports Judge Moore as our nominee and trusts the voters as they make the ultimate decision in this crucial race. Judge Moore has vehemently denied the allegations made against him. He deserves to be presumed innocent of the accusations unless proven otherwise. And herein lies the key to this entire drama. Presumption of innocence. You don't presume someone guilty and then force them to prove their innocence. You presume someone innocent, and the accusatory party has to present evidence of guilt. And I find it very suspicious that no one is requesting any sort of proof. They take the words of a woman who this man says he's never met. They know nothing of her history. They know nothing of her background. They know nothing of the axe she has to grind. And they trot her out. And she speaks words that defame a man who's fought on the side of right for a very long time. Because, see, the ugly truth about today's society is that people will sell themselves very cheaply. They will sell their dignity, they will sell their self-respect, they will sell their bodies. For what? Fleeting stardom and a paycheck. See, for every one of these stars and starlets and whatnot so that come out in Hollywood and say that they were groped or touched or molested, there's probably 1,000 that did untoward things willingly because they believed they'd get ahead. That is absence of self-respect, self-worth, dignity. Just an empty shell covered with makeup that teaches itself to smile in the mirror, popping pills and drowning in booze, attempting to blur the memory of what they had to do to get to walk that red carpet. When you think about it, when you really think about it, you feel kind of sad for these people. You pity them. You understand that their laughter and their smiles are just a facade. Because on the inside, they're hollow. They're empty. And the thoughts of what they had to do in order to achieve this fleeting thing called stardom, the thoughts of it all are keeping them awake at night. But that's okay. We have a pill for that too. Honestly, you ever wonder why there's disproportionate addiction, alcoholism, suicides, violence, abuse, self-abuse in Hollywood compared to the rest of the nation? If you do a study on it, I guarantee you, it's disproportionately higher among these people who are supposed to be among the happiest people on earth. Beautiful and rich and famous. More could you ask for? And yet, pill poppers, drug abusers, alcohol abusers, spouse abusers, sexually depraved, unsatisfied, just sad, altogether sad and pathetic. These people who are supposed to be the happiest on earth. Because to the last, each one realized that true happiness doesn't come by a stardom. True happiness does not come via fame. True happiness doesn't even come via wealth. True happiness comes via Christ living in your heart. And if you don't have Him, then though you may have many earthly things, in reality you have nothing. But you look in the mirror and you teach yourself to smile. Because that's what's expected of you. How can you not pretend to be happy when so many people want what you have? when everyone's reaching for the brass ring that you've already attained, how could you not pretend to be happy? And then you get home, and the smile falls off your face like a mask. And you go to the medicine drawer, and you pop a few pills, and think about cutting yourself to let out the pain. And a few stiff drinks later, you pass out, crying, weeping, mourning. And some do so never to wake again, because this time they took one too many pills. But hey, these are the happiest people on earth. We should all aspire to be like them. Anyway, thank you for listening tonight. It looks like my time has come to an end. I hope it came through crisp and clear. I'm going to go have dinner with my family now. But again, thank you for listening. May God bless you. May He keep you. Hopefully we will be here again next week. If the baby comes until then, I will let you know. If the baby comes during the program, I will leave you. But again, until next week, be blessed. Gino, it's all yours.
All right, brother. And I would invite everyone to pray for Ray Moore and Kayla, his wife. Please keep them in prayer. Please just ask God to help them, strengthen them, watch over them as they battle. And, you know, God forbid that we have more liberals and anti-God people elected to the Senate. And I'm with Mike. I mean, we have to really stand for brothers and sisters that want to make a difference and support biblical stance. And again, also Leah Faith, please pray for her. She's a Christian music artist that's by a miracle of God, her and Randy have a child with another one on the way, and they were not expected to ever have kids. And a couple years ago, we had a special prayer for them one night, and 6 months later, she was pregnant. And she's been very ill the last 4 or 5 weeks. Remember our ministry in prayer. Get the word out about the radio show if you can. We need to blow a trumpet while we've got this window of time. And if you have questions for Mike, you can send them to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, our website's handofhelp.com. I would urge you, get the warning, the wake-up call, or Wake Up America message out. Because I believe, as Mike said, there's many ways that a revolution could begin in this country, and by God's grace, it hasn't. And we know that when these windows are over with, to warn. So God be with you all. God bless you. You have a great night in the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.